We're very fortunate to have Tom Hilche with us. And Tom and his wife Joyce are here, I believe, today. And so Tom has been the pastor at Parkdale Evangelical Free for the last 13 years. And recently has left that post and is getting ready to move to Edmonton. We just talked about the beautiful weather out there, and you're going to Edmonton.
That's right. When people get a pastoral call to Victoria, you kind of go, yeah, right. But when you get a pastoral call to go to Edmonton, there's no other explanation that this is God's call.
You know, Tom, I was thinking during the first service that I need to kind of...
apologize?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, kind of. I actually need to ask for forgiveness because I've been harboring some pretty hard feelings.
I know.
Tom and I are competitors on the baseball field. Tom's been playing with Parkdale for a number of years, and this one game, I hit what's going to be a home run, and I've hit very few of them in my career, just so you know. But I run across first base, and there's Tom standing on the first baseline, literally tackled me to the ground. But being, you know, quick and speedy, I got up and ran the rest of the bases, and I got put out on home plate by a foot. If I hadn't been tackled, I'd have made that home run. Tom, I've been harboring hard feelings, and I just want to ask for your forgiveness publicly.
You've got it, my friend. We were so pleased to throw you out. No.
Not only a competitor on the field, but a brother in Christ, and today he's my friend. Tom, come and share the word of God with us.
Thanks, Rick. It's good to be here. Sharing something a little bit different. I've been at Parkdale for 13 years. We left, sensed God's call for us to go end of August, and that was a very difficult decision for us to make because as a pastor in a church, there's a bond that connects. Pastors are supposed to love their congregations, and I love that place. And so it has created a real hard time for us in that leaving process. And so what I'm here to do this morning is to share a little bit about that process of leaving, how God dealt with us in that particular transition, really a grieving process for us, but also a time where we needed to hear God speak to us. And my hope this morning is that you, through whatever is taking place in your life, that you will get some sense of encouragement that if God can speak to me, my hope is that you will also get the sense that God will speak to you. And I know he will. In fact, I have that full confidence that he will. But sometimes we kind of doubt that. We sit there and go, you know what? God's not talking. And we're not getting through. And God somehow isn't getting through to us. And so I just want to share with you a little bit of my life story, my journey, some pretty interesting thing that God has taken us through, but in all of that, that God has spoken to me through that, and I believe he will speak to you. And that's my hope and prayer this morning. So would you pray with me? Father, this morning as we're gathered here together as a family, as people who are in search of you, wanting to listen, wanting to hear from you, I pray that as we're here, that your Spirit will speak to us, that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us. I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to what he has for us in his word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As part of this leaving Parkdale Church, and that's a fiction that it's surely a fiction. I can't ever remember tackling. You still got the scars. Okay, well, then you must be right. We all remember history differently, don't we? And bitterness differently. I don't know. But anyways, be that as it may. God spoke to us in this whole process of leaving. And as we're leaving, he gave us some verses. And it was Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And we carried these verses with us, and I think you've got it there. And so remember how the Lord, your God, has led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. And thinking of our past and remembering, and again, Rick is really creative in his thinking about the past, but we do remember things from our past. And one of the things we need to remember from our past is how God has walked with us, how he has led us, and how he has processed, and how we've processed with him. And so Joyce and I went on a walk called the Camino de Santiago, and you can see there, 800 kilometers, so that's not just a daily stroll. In the north of Spain, we walked about 23 kilometers a day. The pilgrimage dates back almost 1,200 years ago, so our Catholic friends are the ones who invented this. And what they have done is for a variety of spiritual values, but one of the things that walking on the pilgrimage does is gives you an opportunity to pray and to listen to God. And those are values that we share. Because as Joyce and I left Parkdale, we had time, and we kind of called this our transitional sabbatical, opportunity for us to heal, but also opportunity for us to pray and to listen to what God would say to us. And so there's a bit more of Europe, and you see we started just inside of France, actually. First day we're into Spain and all the way across the north of Spain, and so it was quite a walk. But we had these verses, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, and we put them on rocks. And so we took some rocks from Canada. This is about three-quarters of the way through the walk, and so we've carried these rocks with us in our backpacks, and that's why they're small, because nobody wants big rocks. But we put our names on one, and then we put the scripture verse on another one as part of this process in our lives, as God is working in our lives, for us to remember what he's done in the past. And then we left it on a big pile of rocks right there, the Cruz de Ferro. It's the highest point on that walk, and again, about three-quarters of the way through, so 506. It took us 560 kilometers to get there. It was raining that day, which is okay. And that pile of rocks is symbolic of every pilgrim, or nearly every pilgrim, who, as they go on this journey, they leave a rock as a symbol of the burden that they're carrying. We all have rocks in our lives that are symbols of the burdens. And so this is a very powerful moment for us on the Camino, and for us to leave the burdens. And for us, it's a grieving process of leaving a church family that we dearly love, and a grieving process and leaving that behind, but also with a sense of confidence that as you leave the burdens behind, that there's a hope that grows. And so part of the beauty of the pilgrimage is that it's unburdening and it's embracing a hope. And that's a beautiful thing as you walk along. And so the verse Deuteronomy 8:2 talks about this remembering what God has done. And so one of the things that as we walked, and Joyce is here, she would say, let's stop and turn around and see what's going on. So as I'm walking, all I'm thinking about is get up that hill. I mean, I'm a guy, just let's go. And away we go up the hill, and there's a lot of up. But Joyce says stop and turn around, and that's what she's looking at. And as we look behind, there are wonderful memories and wonderful things about what God has done in our lives. Beautiful sunsets or sunrises. This is somewhere around halfway point in there. And so we're always walking west, so the sun comes up behind us. And we start roughly around sunrise, which is 8:30-ish, 8 o'clock, something like that, because we're walking in September and October. And so we see sunrises and joy. This is the end of the trail, actually, 800 kilometers in Santiago, where you get your certificate for completing the walk. And one of the things that people were leaving behind are their walking sticks, because you don't need them anymore. You've had this friend that you've walked with for a while, but you can leave that behind because that part of the journey is finished. But as we go through this wilderness thing, and as Deuteronomy 8:2 talks to us, this remember his leading, there's a sense of development of character that goes on. Part of it is that yeah, there's a humbling that goes on, because there are times where sometimes there's too much of us, that we sometimes take things far too personally, and we get offended far too easily, and we get angry far too often. And then we hold those things, and we collect the rocks, but we never have a way of dropping them. But sometimes those wilderness times, those times to think, and so the Camino for us was an opportunity for us to reflect on, to think, to remember both the positive leading, but also the times where God has been at work in our lives, changing and molding. And the interesting thing is, Moses also in here says, talks about the idea of humbling and testing. He wants to change us. He needs to change us because we don't bring a very good package to God sometimes when we come to serve Him. We're broken. We're broken people. We've got a lot of things going on in our lives. And God needs to work in that. And given the opportunity, God will work in that. And there's incredible hope and consolation in that, that God is at work in our lives, changing us, walking humbly. And you've got Micah 6:8 over here and this idea of walk humbly. Walk in the Old Testament shows up something close to 1,500 times. And it's just something that people did. That's how you got around. They couldn't jump in anything and drive it anywhere. You walked. A very different way. But sometimes the testing exposes stuff. And sometimes things that we're not really proud of. Sometimes it does expose some anger. Sometimes it exposes some things in our lives that God is not pleased with. And those become the opportunities for God to work in us. Then when he says, there, see it? You see it now? I've had to maybe kind of push you a little bit through some adversity or some hardship. But there it is. Now let's do something with it. And really, that's a hope thing because God isn't showing us these things in a punitive way. He's showing us these things to say, let's work on this. The pilgrimage to Santiago, as we walked, it took Joyce and I about a week or 10 days to settle into this. Everything was new. We had questions. Can I walk 20 kilometers a day? Over and over and over, 25 kilometers a day, over and over and over again. How will my body respond? How are my feet responding? What's happening blisters-wise? We had a few, but very few, actually. We were incredibly fortunate. We had a couple of friends that were almost debilitated by blisters, but that was good for us. But as we understood our capacity to walk, we're actually starting to develop a kind of a baseline of remembering what we can do, because now we know we can walk. And now, after a while, we know we can find a place to stay. There's all kinds of hostels, lots of bunk beds, all that sort of stuff, but we know there are places to stay. And we go on, and we walk, and we have confidence. We start to understand we can find food. We can buy food. One of the key things for us is we need to be able to find ATMs. We've got to find a place to get money. And after a while, you realize we can do that. And so we're able to start to relax into this walk because we're not plagued by all of those questions anymore. We know what's happening. And now we're able to relax and we're able to listen more. And this is part of the remembering process, that even just a few days into this Camino, we're starting to remember what happened yesterday to give us confidence for what's going to happen to today. Our first day was our hardest day. It was up, 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 up. And so Joyce looks behind, looking up. It was a 25-kilometer day. The first 20 kilometers was steady uphill grade. The total vertical for that day was 1,250 meters, straight up, a kilometer and a quarter over 20 kilometers. We rested a lot. We walked. But you know what's harder than up? Down. And you talk to Joyce, the up, it was physically challenging. Our cardio, those things were fine. But going down, our bodies aren't meant to stop every step we take. We're meant to go forward. And that was hard. But one of the beautiful things of walking is that we have a guidebook. And the guidebook that we had gave us a lot of good information. It told us where to find water, which was absolutely important. We needed water. It told us the way we should be going because some days it was a little foggy. And you needed to have confidence that that was the right trail because you couldn't even see the pilgrims in front of you. You just saw fog. You needed to know that the trail was right. we needed to know distances from time to time, because you walk at a certain pace and then you know, well, it's going to be so long till lunch or a break or a coffee break or supper or wherever it is we're going to stay. And so we always want to know mileages. Let's go a couple of slides ahead here. So there's a guidebook gives us the stuff, then the water. Go another one, there's water, and another one for the fog. And then the next slide, distances. And distances were always really handy to know. But you don't want to know too much all at once. And God is like that with us when he works with us. If we knew everything we were going to have to face between now and our life's end, it would be really hard. So the next picture, that's kilometers. If you were driving, that's a hard sign to read. But if you're walking, you know, this was our second day morning. You get up, we're ready to go, and you walk past that sign, and 790 kilometers. How can anybody walk 790 kilometers, right? I mean, that's one of your questions. How do you walk that far? You just start, and away you go. And it doesn't take long, and pretty soon we start to see another kilometer marker down to 697. Now, that wasn't in a day. That was days, 23-ish kilometers a day on average. Interesting encouragements that we would see from time to time. The graffiti over there, some of it's just really interesting. It's some of it's funny. Some of it's profound. Sometimes there's stuff that you read and you go like, wow, that somebody actually thought about that rather than just going at it. We saw the distance with expanse, and that's the trail that the pilgrims are on. You know too much, and sometimes you wonder, am I going to go, or am I going to quit? But we continued to see progress, and it was exciting. Every kilometer is a little bit closer. 592. This is an interesting one because this particular stretch of the trail was administered by a different group, and so they had different trail signs. They put one of these up every single kilometer. So we had 592, and then we had 591. And then the next one, someone had ripped off the kilometer marker. And every one after that, the kilometer markers were ripped off. And I'm, you know, why would anybody do that? But it dawned on me right away, because I don't want to know that. It's too much information. I don't want to know that, boy, I'm working up a great sweat here, and 15, 20 minutes later, oh, one more kilometer. I don't want to know that. But I want to know some things. And so as we walked, as the days progressed, somebody had spray painted this on the trail. Well, that's it. That was exciting. That's halfway. That's neat. We go on a little bit further, a few more days, 249. A little bit further, we get to 190. Now we're kind of picking up speed, figuratively. 100, now it's getting exciting. And in this particular administration, they've got these concrete ones, but they were doing that every half kilometer by the time we hit 100. And we felt differently. We actually liked to see that because I've got almost 700 kilometers behind me. Well, now 100 in front of me is nothing. And we go on a little bit further, and we see the next kilometer marker. In my naive world, I'm thinking, oh, he must have done this too. And then it dawned on me that there was just another Canadian there, and caught the number. That's his jersey number. Okay? Right? And then we finished. This was the goal of where we're at, and we're done. And what a sense of completion for us. And again, it's not this great objective bucket list thing, which often it is for people, but that we've done something that was significant to us, and we finished. As we follow the Lord, part of what we need to be doing is we want to engage his leading. And so that's the second part of where we're at here, is that we really are walking with the Lord in all of this. We're engaged, we're involved. And one of the beautiful things of the walk is that we get this idea that as we're walking with Him, we're moving and we're going. But we get into a solitude as we walk. And I think that was, for us, was one of the great opportunities, that as we go along, we walk, and you've got time to pray, you've got time to think, and then you've just got time to be quiet and listen. And listen to what God is saying. And so as you engage His leading, it's wonderful to listen, to be where you are, to enjoy that. A couple of the things that kind of rattled that, every once in a while we'd meet somebody on the walk talking on a cell phone. And you know how it is when people talk on a cell phone? They're loud. Because when you're talking side by side, we were always taught pilgrims should be quiet and humble and grateful and just embrace the experience. And then you got someone talking on their cell phone. Oh, da 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 da. And away they go. And it just didn't feel right. And then one day we were sitting down resting, and two people walked about 15 feet in front of each other, and they're texting. And it just didn't feel right, because it didn't seem like there was something about engagement. As we walked different places, we would come up to towns, and some of these towns were small, and they would have little cafes, which were wonderful. Coffee is amazing in Spain. Café con leche, it's like a latte, but wow, is it ever nice. And I think you appreciate it more when you're walking as well. But we'd sit down, and so part of our rest break would be in the morning, sit down and have a coffee or fresh squeezed orange juice or something fabulous like that. And you might invite a friend that you've met on the journey to sit down, and you would have some real nice conversations with folks. But then one day we saw at this town, we saw this bus pull up. And that's kind of strange. And then all of these people start pouring out of this bus. And then they start walking through the town. And they're loud. And they're boisterous. And they're noisy. Now, they're experiencing their own Camino walk for their own purposes. But something for us, it just didn't feel right. And it was hard for us actually not to think badly of them. And sometimes we actually tried to avoid these groups just because of the amount of noise they made. Now, they're still doing their thing, and they're still having a wonderful experience, and so we have to be careful with that. But they would go, and they're not carrying very much. They're clean. Their hair's all done up nice. Curling. I mean, nobody carries a curling iron. But they do, because they've got a bus. They sleep in nice hotels every night. But don't hear me saying bitter. Okay, it's just a different experience. It really is. And for us, one of the biggest things for us was this ability to have quiet, to think, to pray. Because part of what was taking place was working through a grieving process of leaving a church family. And hard. But there was a second set of verses that became incredibly important to us as we went along. And early in the journey, these verses kind of came out almost in a random sort of way. Forgetting what is behind, straining to what's toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We came over the crest of a hill, and there was a little pine forest, and it just smelt amazing. Just the pine, just, and you smelt this, and then we saw all of these rocks piled up on the side of the pathway, and it had this kind of this, it had a quiet sort of elegance to it, that you would just want to sit and pause in this little stand of trees that smelt so good, as kind of an oasis, I suppose. And so I took out my red Sharpie, and I used that red Sharpie for some evil. We mostly for good. We wrote on some rocks, and then we thought, well, we should put another verse down. And so that's the verse we came up with, was this idea of pursuing God's calling and pressing, moving forward. And so sometimes as you move forward, you do need to forget some stuff. Sometimes there's things of status, of pride, of selfishness, of bitterness, of anger. Rick needs to just let that home run go. Just let it go. But it's interesting, as we met people, the conversations were very different conversations. Often when we meet people in Victoria, we'll exchange names. Hi, who, you know, your name. Very often, one of the first questions we'll ask is, what do you do? That's just normal, really polite conversation. When we were on this walk, we never asked, what do you do? It was almost irrelevant, which is really interesting. You get names, and then usually you ask, where did you start from? Because you can start this walk anywhere. How long are you going to be walking? Are you going to do segments, or are you going to do the whole thing? How are you feeling? Your feet. Where are you from? From Canada, somewhere else? Very different sorts of conversations. And that was interesting because one of the things that defines us most was no longer relevant. What do? Was gone. And so sometimes in that forgetting process and engaging the leading, and then as we press forward, sometimes we do need to forget some things. Because some of those things that we're holding on to may be the very things that are holding us back. Pressing forward, the walk itself is an inviting walk. It draws you forward. And I think as we follow Christ, he does draw us forward. The Spirit invites us. There's this sense that Jesus says, come. And we follow. There are arrows, and yellow arrows are sort of the thing of the Camino, and shells. And this is the leading and the guiding of the Camino, but sometimes those arrows are obscure, hard to see. But after a while, the more we look, the more we see. I think we were walking around somewhere here in Victoria and we saw some yellow arrows on the sidewalk. Now, this isn't Camino anymore, but our eyes are just sort of like, we are just zoned in yellow arrows, because that, you got to have them, because otherwise you could be walking anywhere in Spain. Unless you've got yellow arrows. We're zoned in Victoria, yellow arrows and yellow lines are buried gas lines. But our eyes are still caught to that. And that's one of the interesting things about God's leading. The more we look, the more we're focused on the cues, the more we see. And we want to do that. Sometimes the arrows were unclear. Which way should we be going? And again, guidebook helped a little bit with that, sometimes watching Pilgrim's Path, all that sort of thing. And then every once in a while, there were arrows we knew we should never follow. Right? That guy can't make up his mind where he's going. We could always identify pilgrims on the trail. Not even on the trail. In the evening, after you had showered and put some clean clothes on and got rid of your backpack and you're walking around whatever little town, there was a way to identify pilgrim, and it was feet. Spanish people don't wear flip-flops. Spanish people don't wear Keens. So when we were walking around any town, we could almost immediately identify the pilgrims simply by their feet, because the Spanish people had really nice shoes. Well, no pilgrim had really nice shoes. We just had whatever light thing would fit in our backpack that we'd wear in the evening that wasn't our hiking shoes. In fact, we were in a Burger King in one of the major towns. We stopped in for a burger. Yeah, I know, it's, don't judge me for that. And there's a couple of Korean guys in there, and we know right away they're pilgrims, because he's got his shoe off, and the other guy's holding his foot and looking at his foot. Nobody does that. Except feet become one of the real talks on, because that's, if you're going to have trouble, that's where you're going to have trouble. But we could tell the pilgrims by these obvious marks. But the Camino always called us on. and called us forward. And we loved that. The bridges, 19 arches on this bridge, one of the longest ancient bridges. That bridge is somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 years old. Maybe go down to Victoria City Hall and tell them about bridges at last. I'm not supposed to be political, so I'm sorry. But isn't that interesting? There's a bridge. But it invites you. A bridge always invites you to cross it. It's a beautiful thing. And some gorgeous verses. And then after we came back from the Camino, another beautiful bridge, we found some verses for us that became meaningful afterwards, because again, we're in this transitional ministry thing from Parkdale Church to nowhere to where does God going to take us? And so we pick up, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And one of the beautiful things that we found as we walked on the Camino is that the Camino was a prepared trail, in the sense that someone had gone ahead of us. They had marked with all of these spray-painted yellow arrows or other signs. Somebody had taken the time to write a guidebook and then sell it. But we have this really good guidebook. And the trail is there. And as we're walking along, following the leading, we start to see some amazing, amazing things. And so we see sunrises in different places that are just beautiful. And so as we're walking, as we're following, God would bless us with these snapshots of beauty. A town on a foggy, wet, dreary day, and there's sheep going through, and our Bibles tell us that that's one of the ways that God sort of relates to us as a shepherd, and we're sheep, and we follow, and he leads, and he guides. And there's just something just therapeutic about watching that. And God blessed us with that. We walked through some trails, and again, the solitude of walking alone and listening and praying and thinking and processing, because our minds are going, going, going. One of my friends said I look like a hobbit. But away I go. And then perhaps the most beautiful bridge that we crossed. That's my wife took that picture, so... and again, bridges always invite you to cross them. And we walked across that bridge. And again, God blesses us for that. I don't know where you're at in your lives. I don't know if you're really struggling to find God's leading, if you're remembering, if you're engaging, if you're pursuing, but those are the kinds of things that I hope for you. But I'm saying in our lives, we have found God to be faithful in this, that he's led us. We've remembered, we've engaged, and he's given us some leading. And we're delighting in that leading. God has given us another verse, and it's Deuteronomy 31:8. And the beautiful thing about this is not a promise of outcome, that I'll make it all better for you. It's really a promise of withness. The Lord himself goes before you, so he's already kind of ahead of us. And he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That's the point of this, as we walk, that God himself is with us. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is a long walk. We go with him. And as he leads us and as he guides us, we will face all kinds of adversity and difficulty and hardship. But it's not only difficulty, hardship, and adversity. There's some times of incredible blessing and beauty. But the best part is He walks with us, not just when we're going over a really nice bridge, but he also walks with us when we go through some of the deepest, darkest, most hurtful times in our lives. And so take that verse with you, that God himself is with you. I've seen this true in our lives, and so that's sort of our process of journey of leading. But I believe that is absolutely true for you, that no matter where you're at in that, as long as you remember, engage, and pursue, God will walk with you, and you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be discouraged. You can walk with confidence. And who knows where that will take you.